It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is back. Nick Wilson back on Afternoon Drive. Kayla Coljohn on the board. We got Jax Gregory, sweet young thang behind the glass today. Katie on the 2020s as well. And as it is a hump day.
Hump day. Hump day.
There we go. We got playoff baseball to talk about. We got Deshaun and the boys back in the building. Deshaun had some comments we're going to get to today as well. We start to look ahead to the Washington game as well. But across from me, once again, the next 2 days, Jason Stanford, former Indians pitcher. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's fall season. It's October now. It's baseball football time.
Yeah. We will get into the idea of what baseball means to you, but I will tell you that I had something today. You know this. You're a father of teenage daughters. You understand that even when it's your own kid, it's a little bit of a test. I never realized the test of other people's teenage daughters. I walk my all my girls to their bus stop because it's not right out in front of our house. I walk them to their bus stops in the morning. And the good thing about the twins is it's much later than the high schooler. But the bad news is it's farther away. And so we're out in front of these two houses. Long story short, I'm not crazy about the location. Just the stuff around there. But for some reason, every kid that isn't my kid stands right in front of the two houses' driveway. And so most of the time, my philosophy is, I'm not going to say a damn thing. They're not my kids. I feel awkward about saying something to other people's kids just because they don't know me. They don't know my tone. They don't know. And I'm a big guy. You know, most of the girls there are girls. So I'm already a little conscientious of that. Well, today, there were two girls, and I know one of the girls because they're friends with my daughter. And the other girl, I've seen her there. I've said hi, but I don't really know her. Well, today, and this is an everyday thing, every day someone has to tell these girls, don't stand in the driveway because the people who live there are backing up. And so initially, it was not my battle because my kids don't go there, and I was trying to, like, I always hate the idea of, like, being too aggressive with somebody else's kids because, again, they don't know me. They don't know my tone. They don't know, you know, and I also don't want to, you know, make them not feel comfortable. But today, it was so apparent. There was somebody backing up. They were getting there. It's the one lady has, like, little kids. So, like, she's trying to get to work. Man, when I was that age, you're just trying to survive, right? So I was, like, called out to these two girls standing there. Hey, girls. Why don't we go ahead and, you know, move out of the driveway and move just over onto the sidewalk? And both of them looked at me like I had three eyes. And they kind of inched to you understand, it's a double driveway. So they just inched closer to the center. And I waited and I was like, actually, girls, there's a car backing up. I don't want you to get hurt. Let's move off the driveway altogether. And I'll be honest with you, man, they moved to the very edge of the driveway without actually getting off the driveway. And there was a moment, Jason, where I was like, do I go there? Because I do think if I lose my temper, it's only going to take one time. Because usually, in general, with anyone, if they see me get grumpy, It really only takes one time to get my point across. And instead, I did the thing that I don't know is much better. I just kind of stared at them until they moved. I did the thing where I like the Debbie Downer face where you're just like, really? I got to say it a third time. And after two uncomfortable minutes of me not breaking, they were like, okay, I get what you're saying, and moved off. And for the rest of the time, just had the attitude of ages that I would dare speak to them. And man, did it take my wife talking me off the ledge, because I was like, this is going to be a smackdown going on here. Yep. And thankfully, my wife is actually a nice person and a good person. And she was like, they're teenage girls, man. You're just going to have to fight for every inch with teenage girls.
The more and more I think about this, and I'm thinking back to Mr. Wilson, Dennis the Menace type style here, and you not losing your cool, though. You know, for those of you that don't know or have never seen Nick, he's 6'4", 6'5", and he is a scary figure.
Oh, thank you.
In a good way.
Yeah, no, and nobody believes that I'm right? a scary figure because they know me.
Oh, man. So for Halloween coming up soon, we're going to have to see what happens. But to have girls as well, I'm looking at this as, for me, where on my block where I used to live, everybody knows Mr. Stanford doesn't take any nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
I only have to do kind of the same thing. Just look, don't have to say a word, and they just do what they need to do, and that's move. So I would have loved to have been right there with you and just kind of seen the whole reaction to the girls doing it. But what about the lady backing up? What was she? I mean, did she say anything this morning, or was she just in a hurry?
Those ladies are so patient, and they use such a sweet tone with the kids. They're like, "Hey, could you back up for me?" And I'll be honest with you, that's the other part of this. What really grinds my gears. Now we're just going to lean right into it. What really gets me going is when somebody's being super courteous, and people just like, "Nope." Whether you're a teenager or not. It is, and I for 6 weeks, man, I've watched this play out, and both moms, because I usually see the moms and not the dads, both moms, "Hey, kiddos, can we get off?" And the kids just kind of inch to the side, and I don't know what broke in my brain today, but Vanessa actually came up with a really good point. My Vanessa, because we both have Vanessas
here. We do, yes.
But my Vanessa came up with a very good point, which was even if you do raise your voice, their parents know what kind of monster they have in their house as a teenage daughter.
Yes, very true.
And so I was like, it actually kind of comforted me to be like, because here's the thing. I think the other thing that stopped me was I didn't have a lot of time after the girls got on the bus, so I had to drive we drove them up instead of walk them up. I think I probably would have had I might have been more forceful had I been standing near them, because everybody walks around me like I'm Andre the Giant when I'm walking around them. So I think they were pushing their luck. I think they were trying to test, because I was in a car, like, is he going to get his fat ass out of the car? They were correct. I was not getting out of the car. I was not doing that.
So is this going to happen tomorrow, though? I mean, you're going to show up tomorrow. You're going to take your girls to the bus stop again. What's going to transpire tomorrow? I'm interested to see what happens tomorrow.
Tomorrow we're walking. And tomorrow I will be announcing my presence with authority, because the other thing that Vanessa, because I realized after the fact, I did the
girls.
I did the, and I'm like, I don't do that with my daughters. I'm like, if somebody's kids at my house and I'm worried about them, I have no problem using the dad voice and then being like, "Hey, sorry, I don't always realize my tone." I always realize my tone, but I have no problem doing that at my house. So I'm like, why didn't you just dad voice him? Like, in the end, this was a learning experience. It's like, I think if you had just been like, "Hey, move," I don't think I'd ever have to have this conversation again. So that's what tomorrow's setting up to be. If we're in the middle of the walking path, or if we're in the middle of the driveways, I think we're going to get a, "Hey, move." But I'm going to be standing 3 feet away from him, which might be the course correction and the overcorrection that gets me some sort of a bitchy text message or voicemail from somebody's parent, at which point I'll be like, "Your kid's a stubborn mule. You come down and deal with him."
Very true.
So that's what we got. Also, Robert saying, no joke, and of course, social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. This would be much more hilarious if you had a train horn and sold basically honked on the horn to scare the crap out of those kids blocking the driveway. I'm not bragging here because I am talking about intimidating teenagers or preteens. I think I actually might be more intimidating when I get mad than even a train horn.
Yeah, I want to see all of the above. I want to see you come with your...
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Self with a train horn, and then go full throttle on them.
I imagine that there will become a point here, and it's probably going to be it's cold because I get really grumpy when I get cold the morning. There's going to become a moment where if because it's the basic properties of escalation. If my escalating voice or my escalating demonstrations do not get through to you, at some point, I thought about like, because the only thing people, you know, the dad voice, it doesn't work. Vanessa's the nicest person in the world. She has no problem going there with teenage girls because she was a teenage girl. So that's, I kind of do have the threat of, I'll use the dad voice, but if I get her to have to take a break at work to come down here, everybody's in trouble. Because moms are super smart. Moms will just talk to other moms. Whereas I'm like, I'm going to handle this. This is getting handled now. Vanessa will just text every mom in the neighborhood and be like, check your kid right now, please.
Well, and that's the scary part of it, right? You get mom involved. Mama Bear comes out and says, no messing around anymore. You need to be straight and center.
That is a little emasculating, though. Now that I thought about it, I think I'm just going to use the dad voice there. What would you guys do? Vanessa, please come help me. Nick, you are 6'4" and you weigh 350 pounds. You got this. Believe in yourself. So playoff baseball is going on. We got a couple things to get into the Guardians. We'll react to the Deshaun Watson stuff we heard today. Some good stuff from Deshaun today. And a few things we can probably pick apart a little bit. But as you are the former baseball player, as you are... I don't like the way I said former, though. It's very accusatorial. What does playoff baseball mean to you?
So playoff baseball right now is it's everything, right? You play 162 games, and actually 161 games, to be exact, this year. But to be able to get to this point in the season, to have everybody healthy, I think is huge. But personally, for me, being a part of it, there is not a better feat to it. You have that feel of waking up, of knowing that you have something meaningful, especially being at home now. And I was a part of it in the minor leagues. We were able to win a couple championships in the minor leagues. I remember my first pro season, you know, being a part of a couple where I went from A ball to double A and being able to win. And then the following year, you know, pitching in a game that went 17 innings, you know, in a playoff game. It was game 5 of a playoff game in Buffalo. So, you know, for me, I look back at 2007. That was, you know, a team that I was a part of. And just knowing the camaraderie that we had in the clubhouse and how loose we were and how fun it was to just show up every day and know what you had in front of you.
What surprised me most is, and it always happens, it's never the same time every year. I think it was at Kansas City, the last Kansas City series after Pasquantino got hurt, where you needed to put them out of the division, and you did so. That, to me, is when it felt like the playoffs. I don't know where it was for you. For this team,
it was actually for me. It was earlier because when I looked at August, this was the month where you kind of saw the team teetering, you know, and they could have gone one way or the other, and they were able to regroup, and kind of lean on each other, and they got to September, and then they played really good baseball in September.
216-474-0092. So we are going to start there. We've had the Astros-Tigers conversation, not with Jason, but we're going to have a similar conversation about what's next for the Guardians, but from a different vantage point. We're going to get Jason's perspective on this coming up in the next segment. But J.P. Finley, 106.7 The Fan, host of B. Mitch in Finley, on The Fan there in Washington, D.C., NBC Sports in D.C. He joins us at 2:40 to get us ready for this Commanders game. We got Ross Tucker. Didn't say my name in the broadcast. Royally pissed, kind of, not really. But he's going to join us at 4. We'll get his thoughts on Deshaun's game, whether he thinks Deshaun is on the cusp of a breakout. Daryl Ryder coming up at 6. Jason Stanford's in with us today, though, guys. Lot to react to, a lot of Browns, a lot of Gardos. But what factors matter most in the Guardians coming away and coming out of the ALDS with a win? We'll take a look at that next with Jason on 92.3 The Fan. Games ago, but certainly am awake about coming off his historic performance. So we'll talk with JP coming up in 20 minutes. We're also talking about the Guardians in the playoffs here. And the conversation started with us on Monday by happenstance. It was in the 5 at 5. I was like, yeah, bring on the Astros, a little bit tongue-in-cheek. And my partner that day, JP, was like, wait. Actually, no, I think I said bring on the Tigers. I don't remember anymore. Time's a flat circle. But I said bring on the Tigers. He said, well, wait. That's the hottest team in baseball. And so we ended up getting into a debate about this. And then I circled back to the debate yesterday with Spencer. What I'm curious about for you, though, is when we start talking about the potential ALDS matchups, the Astros or the Tigers, what factors you think matter most? Because I'm a big playoff experience guy, matters most, but I know not everybody puts that much stock into it.
So the way I look at it is I'm kind of in agreement there with playoff experience. You look at the Tigers right now, hot team in September, got into the playoffs. I mean, when you looked at the Tigers, I would have said there's no chance that they're even going to make the playoffs as a wild card team. Somehow, some way, AJ Hinch got that team righted, and they did a great job of being able to get in the playoffs. And then it showed yesterday. They come in, they beat up, you know, on the Astros that have had 7 straight years of dominance. So for me right now, it's you have your pros and cons, of course, but you have AJ Hinch at the helm. That scares me. He's been to the playoffs multiple times. He's been able to win deep in the playoffs as well. And then you have the Astros, who brand new manager this year, similar to Steven, you know, but I like our chances better right now with the Astros. If you were to ask me today right now, better chance with the Astros based on what I've seen pitching-wise, defensively, and then you go to the offense of where we're at.
So I hate the history with the Astros, though, because I agree, Joe Espada. And listen, I don't know Joe has the same thing that Steven does. Like, Steven is an in-game manager. Like, his fingerprints are all over every game beyond just when to pull the pitcher. Like, he is super aggressive, and I think that favors the playoffs. I don't think Joe is. I think you saw AJ Hinch was last night. Like, he pulled his closer with, what was it, 1 out?
Yep.
And then brought in just hard-throwing kid that has kind of come on out of nowhere. They get a couple of those relievers. So I do think that's interesting. I continue to come back to there's something about – sometimes teams have your number in sports. And I don't know how much that factors into the mentality of this Guardians team, because we're thinking all the way back to 2018 – with the Astros, I'm looking at it of ALCS, what, 7 ALCSs in a row?
Right.
So, like, that's more where I'm looking at from it. The Tigers thing, though, it's just so hard to quantify heat and who's playing well. Because, like, I made the comparison to 2016. You played well for, 8 weeks, and you had 3 games in a row, where you just got beat. And that's all it took to lose the World Series. So it's like the idea of, I do wonder, like, how sustainable mojo is and how much of it is the Tigers didn't really play anybody down the stretch.
Well, it could be both, but at the same time, you still have to go out, you have to win games, you have to compete, and it's Major League Baseball. So, yes, you know, the schedule was favorable to the Tigers, but when I look at this right now, and you talked about Steven being able to manage in-game, that's huge right now. Mm-hmm. You also have 2 new coaches. So let's say it's the Guards against the Astros. Let's say the Astros win the next 2 games and they figure out how to get here on Saturday. So now you have 2 fresh rookie managers going at it. Joe Espada has been here, though. Like he was the bench coach the last couple of years under Dusty Baker. So that, you know, I look at that. Yes, you have some experience in the playoffs, but you don't have the experience of managing. So it's two fresh managers going at it. I'm going to take my chances with Stephen Voth. I like him better right now because of where he's at. And here's the game, the reason why. Carl Willis, he's the X factor for me right now. You have a man, you have a pitching coach that has been with the Guardians slash Indians for a long, long time in the organization since I think 97, 98 was the first year he was with the Guards Indians.
I actually have a Carl Willis baseball. I actually have like 10 Carl Willis baseball cards.
You have one of mine?
No. You oh know, God. Okay.
I've only got like one out there.
Well, so here's why is the 2000s are right when I got into high school. And when I discovered girls, suddenly I stopped collecting baseball cards.
Oh, mine's like the best common though.
I know. I'd love to have it. I'd love to be able to bring it in. That's a weird thing that radio guys do is like, I have your card. That's a little weird. So in reality, I just like to know that I have it. I don't even know why I brought that Carl Willis thing up. I think what's interesting is you mentioned the familiarity with the Tigers. I actually see that as an advantage of knowing them. You see it differently though.
I really do. And I think because they're in division, you know every movement of what's going on. So managerially, you look at AJ Hinch compared to Stephen Voth, that is a difficult motion right there. And I'm going to say give the advantage right now if it happens to AJ Hinch on that motion there. But then at the same time, starting pitching. The depth of starting pitching is going to play a factor in that long series.
I think because we go 3, 5, and 7 there. So I can't deny the importance of Scooble. You can't because nope. 2 out of 5 games is still so much baseball that Correct. He controls. I'd also say, though, you only need to get to him once. And so even if you don't get to him at the first crack, as good as he is in the postseason, it's really tough to see a team twice in 5 games and be that same level. Because I look at the rest of it. One, I think their bullpen's a little overinflated. I don't think their bullpen's as good as the numbers say they are, like their individual numbers. I think you saw Foley. We saw that a little bit in August. Like, he is a little more shaky as a closer than you'd think. And then the other thing is, it's the rest of the Tigers' rotation that I don't fear. They've got some good arms, but, like, it's Scooble. So for them to win, I think Scooble has to be Cy Young level guy each of those games, and they need to pull a rabbit out of a hat at least one more time. That's a lot to ask for a team, no matter how hot they are, that doesn't have a lot of experience, and that there is a Cinderella vibe to it. I almost think of them like the 2022 Guardians, where it's like they're going to take baseball by storm, late season surge, run into the playoffs. And they were able to dust the Rays at the time, a lot of playoff experience, and then they ran into, albeit we're not the Yankees, they ran into the Yankees, who were just a better team and who just outlasted them, and it didn't matter how good Shane Bieber was.
Well, 100% there. And I go back to, I'm thinking, you go to Corey Kluber, Scooble type, because you have that ace. You have that bona fide ace. Right now, for me, though, when you have to face him twice, possibly, that's a scary scenario. You know, if you lose game one, let's say it's the Tigers, hypothetically speaking, you lose game one, you come back game two, we still don't know the rotation layout yet. Mm-hmm. But that, for me, that game two, it's a must win at that point because you don't want to go down 2-0 going to Detroit and saying, okay, you have to at least win one here. If not, you're done.
So we had Mandy Bell on yesterday of MLB.com, and she had a really pretty intricate answer on the rotation for the playoffs. What happens after Tanner Bibee? Here's what she had to say there.
I think right now a lot of it depends on Alex Cobb because they really do seem to be trying to get him back in time. And Vogt was very specific when he said that they're trying to get him to start. Now, he doesn't have too much time to build up that pitch count. His sim game that was on Sunday was 30-some pitches, which isn't a lot. So you would have him then pitch again on Friday. That would then line him up for game 3 if that's what they're shooting for. So maybe that is part of the plan and you just have him open or just see what he can handle. And I don't know if the plan for that game 3 of having Cobb open would be to have Gavin Williams then come out and handle some of the innings after that, like they were going to try on Sunday before the rain got in the way. So I don't know if they still stick with a plan like that or keep that on the table when Gavin Williams didn't get a try. trial run at that. That's kind of hard to ask for the first time in a big playoff series. So I don't know if that's still on the table. I think Bybee and Boyd, you'll see it starts. It just comes down to how they handle whatever day, whether it be game two or game three, which one they would maybe do a bullpen game.
I think what's interesting about this is, because I honestly think as long as Bybee is strong enough, five-game series, I think you can get away with doing bullpen games to a most degree, as long as you're getting three solid innings somewhere, whether it's the start or the middle part of the game there. I think what's interesting is I did not even realize it. Her saying that Boyd's going to get a start. That's probably the guy I'm most afraid of in the postseason of their starters because he just got tuned up late in the season. I don't know if that was maybe that wall that you hit coming off an injury. I don't know if that's just people figuring him out. But he went from lockdown and getting away with a lot of stuff to just every time he went out, it was two innings, an inning and a third, something like that.
Well, I think with Matthew Boyd, if he does get that start in game two, you look at him to possibly be more so maybe an opener. But the scary thing for me is in a five-game series, in that shorter series, the bullpen doesn't get exposed too bad. You know, you get into a longer playoff series, the seven-game series, and then you go deeper into the playoffs for the World Series. If the bullpen is constantly going out there game after game because your starters aren't going deep, they're going to get exposed. I know they've had great numbers this year. They've done their part. They've been locked down the whole time. But when you come to playoff baseball, you have to be precise. Everybody is amped. Everybody's ready to go. You're going to have hitters step up that you have not seen before. And for the guards, they have to make sure that they keep the ball in the ballpark and not let it fly out.
So I think, because where we're at here, and because you did pitch in the majors, because you've clearly followed this game since you were a kid here, I think Lively can give you a moment here. Maybe you trust Boyd to be an opener for a couple innings. But when it comes down to it, because you can say this, I think the beauty of the Guardians is, before I make that point, the beauty of the Guardians, tell me if you agree with this, is that they're a perfectly balanced team. Their offense gives you just enough. The rotation, I think, can give you just enough. And then they fall back on an elite bullpen. And the reason why that's beautiful, the downside of that is there's at least two hitters that need to show up. There's at least two starters that need to show up. And then the bullpen needs to be elite. So the downside of, okay, we're just a good team across the board is you don't have two Sotos and Judge or, two Yordan Alvarezes that can change the game with one swing.
Yeah, and that is the difficult part. Offensively, they do just enough. They score just enough runs, of course. And if they can get it to the bullpen, up one or two runs late, we've seen all season long what that bullpen can do. The thing for me right now is you go to Tyler Bybee, and he's going to go game one. You've got to get a solid start from him. If you go into the bullpen in the third, fourth inning, that's going to be a long series for the guards' bullpen. If Tyler goes out and he does what he's supposed to do, and he gives you six strong innings, like we've seen so far in the wild card games, the teams that have won have had really good starts so far. Then you can go to your bullpen like you should, seventh, eighth, ninth. Perfect layout. Then you look to game two. For me, I like Ben Lively better than I would see a Matthew Boyd going in there because I think Lively right now gives you that ground ball pitcher. For the guards, that's a huge win for them.
So I think when it comes to, I think you need Tanner to be an ace. Like I don't think this goes anywhere if he's not going out there and giving you six solid innings, five solid innings, whatever it is, and keeping guys off the bases, keeping guys. Here's the other thing, though. I think between Cobb, because of his experience, and he still has enough stuff, and Gavin Williams, they need one of those guys. Whether it's as a starter or a bulk guy, they need one of those guys to step up over the next three series. If you get that, that's quite literally just enough with the bullpen to go where you need to go. 216-474-0092. After Tanner Bybee, what then, we ask? We'll get back to this with Jason Stanford in a bit here. But J.P. Finley, 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C., joins us next. We'll get his thoughts on Jaden Daniels, how concerned we should be, and how good are the Commanders really? 92.3 The Fan. And then Alex Wright with a tricep. So I don't know if you realize that, Jason. That's a lot of starters that are not practicing today. We're noticing a trend through the beginning of the season.
Very much so. And when you look at this and you see guys already banged up, I mean, look, football is a very tough sport. I think we can agree there. But to have this many starters banged up this early, that's cause for concern.
So as we get you ready, as we're not quite turning the page in the Raiders loss yet, but we start to look ahead to the Commanders game on Sunday in Washington. We're going to welcome on a man who knows something about Commanders football here, host of 106.7 The Fan's midday show, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., B. Mitch and Finley, also NBC Sports in D.C. J.P. Finley joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. J.P., welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, fellas. You guys got quite the injury list.
We do. We've got it's basically, we should probably just start putting out a not injured list at this point. It might be a little quicker to get through. Right. Tell us about the rise of Jaden Daniels, because he's not just taken Commanders fans by storm. A lot of people in the NFL giving him a lot of love early on.
Yeah, I mean, it feels very strange for a lot of us that have been suffering through real quarterback purgatory for some time. And I mean, heck, talking with people from Cleveland, you guys understand that too. I really liked Daniels coming out of college. I thought he could hit the ground running and be a really good player. I think a lot was made about his abilities as a runner, but I think where he's best is working from the pocket. Like, to me, he's a true pocket passer that happens to also be able to run. And so I was high on him, and still they're outperforming all expectations. You know, he's had the highest completion percentage in back-to-back weeks since Tom Brady in the 2007 Pats offense with Randy Moss and Gronk. I mean, the numbers they're hitting, the efficiency marks they're hitting right now, how they're running the football, not Jaden, but their backs, whether it was Eckler before he was hurt, Brian Robinson's been a stud, this young man Jeremy McNichols, last week rushed for two touchdowns. The offense is firing on all cylinders. The offensive line is really good. They're getting just a lot of production. They spread the ball around. But certainly, any conversation with this Washington team right now, all roads lead back to Jaden Daniels, and he's playing at an elite level, not just for a rookie, but for any quarterback in the league.
JP, you just talked about it right now, an elite level for a quarterback that's a rookie. But when you step on the field and you look at this young man, the confidence just is blasting right now for this gentleman.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's good reason for it. Through four games, he's only had the one interception. He doesn't really put much in harm's way. None of this is fluky. If you watch, they are ahead and down in distance. They very rarely end up in a third and five or more. The few times they do, he's made really phenomenal throws. They had a third and 13 last week in Arizona when the game was still very much in the balance, and he connected with Noah Brown for 14 yards. He's just – what these players keep telling you is how impressed they are by his poise. And week after week, I mean, you think about it, they go to Cincy, Jaden's able to beat Burrow. You know, I'm sure that game mattered a little bit more to Jaden than he let on, and somebody that had to kind of operate in Burrow's shadow at LSU. And they win that game almost strictly because of the offensive performance and the throw Jaden made late to Terry McLaurin, where he got clocked and then put it right on the money. And it would have been a natural, easy letdown game against Arizona, only that didn't happen. They kept their foot on the Cardinals' throats and really, I mean, just dominated that game. He finally throws his first pick, and there was no real reaction to that. The kid is just cool. He is poised and comfortable, and you know, when we talk to him week after week after week, he is the same person. Like, he's not too high, too low. It is it's really been interesting to watch so far.
J.P. Finley on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Stylistically, is he, you know, we're seeing guys like Justin Fields who love to have the ball in his hand, maybe hold on to it a little long sometimes, or is he closer to that kind of quarterback in the pocket, or is he more of that get the ball out as quickly as possible?
No, I wouldn't compare him to Fields at all. He makes quick reads, ball comes out. He throws with really good anticipation. I think a huge part of why they stay in positive down and distance, why they don't end up in these third and 11s very often, is just how quick he processes. He also, I think, does a great job at identifying stuff pre-snap. I'm telling you, man, he's a pocket passer first, and that's where everything stems from. His accuracy, he's got a quick release. If that is what enables him and this offense to really perform at the high levels. And even the first 2 weeks, you know, they were getting scoring chances. In Tampa, where they kind of got worked, it was his first game in the NFL, the kicker missed two field goals in that game. They since signed a new kicker. But, you know, they would have scored on 5 of 8 possessions in that game. They didn't punt for a couple weeks. It's been crazy. If you look at EPA, like the expected points above average, all those stats, they're performing at a crazy efficient level.
JP, the team's 3-1 right now. Everybody in, you know, Washington is excited about this team finally. The confidence, though, for Jaden Daniels, and then also the pressure. He's, you know, putting pressure on himself probably week in and week out, but the pressure outside, you know, the line, what would you say about that for the pressure for him?
Yeah, I mean, it's only going to keep growing, obviously. And it was reported that maybe the Ravens game in 2 weeks, the week 6 game against the Ravens, was going to be flexed into Sunday Night Football. And then it was reported that that's not happening because CBS said, no way are you taking this game from us. And I don't know if you saw this, but his jersey was the number one seller on Fanatics this past week. He doesn't seem to be impacted at all by any of that. I do think to LSU and you know, obviously in Ohio State, Michigan, like some of these college programs, they operate at a level that's like a pro organization. And for Jaden, I remember we asked him about pressure when he was drafted. And he's like, pressure? I had to follow Joe Burrow at LSU. And I think a lot of us get caught up in this concept of the NFL and what pro football is that we forget that these guys have already been through a lot. Now the pressure will continue to build, the limelight, the excitement, the celebrity status, whatever you say. He doesn't seem impacted by it. Who knows? A year from now, maybe we'll all be saying something different. But he's going to come talk to this media room in about a half hour or so, and I expect him to be the same kind of cool, laid-back, smiling, laughing, easygoing young man that we've seen so far.
JP, the Browns have to get a win, have to stop beating themselves, quite frankly. But if they're putting together the game plan, how do you beat this Commanders team? They got one loss this season, but haven't lost since week one.
Yeah, run the ball. I think Cleveland can run the ball well. I don't know if Chubb's going to be back, but if you can, the Washington defense has been beaten on the ground week after week after week. James Conner of the Cardinals was able to get up over 100 last week. I think that's the key, is you run the ball, don't turn it over, keep Jaden off the field, because the Commanders not only have been really efficient, but they eat up time of possession with the way they run the football, and Jaden manages the clock really well. So I would say it's running the ball first and foremost, and then not surrendering just these long drives Washington goes on. Pressure would help. Keep in mind, too, Washington's won 3 in a row, but that Giants game, week 2, Giants kicker got hurt on the first snap, on the first opening kickoff. I think that game looks a lot different if New York didn't have to go for it on every fourth down. The Bengals game could have gone either way. Washington looks to be improving, though, week after week, and you wonder, I know how good that Browns defense was last year, but they better be ready to play Sunday because this offense can move the ball.
So with that, I got a couple buddies from D.C. who are big Commanders fans. The Jaden Daniels is already the truth, the apparent. Like they've locked that down. They've started penciling Super Bowl appearances here. For you, for this season, how much more do you need to see from the team and from Jaden before you really look at them and say, legit playoff contenders and maybe somebody who can even surprise there in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, the math kind of tells you they're playoff contenders right now. You're 3-1 through 4 games. If you can go 6-7 down the stretch here, play under 500, still get to 9 wins. 9 wins in the expanded, you know, 3-team wild card, you're probably in. So I don't think that is necessarily the goal. Who knows what's after that. But I think if the next two games, the AFC North is known for how tough of a division it is. They've already beaten the Bengals at Cincy. Then you get the Browns and then the Ravens after that. You go 3-0 against those three teams and tough-nosed defenses. I think that starts to say a lot. Even if you split these next two, you know, maybe you go to Baltimore and drop one. They've got a big opportunity for in October because they were on the road for three of their four first games. Now they have three out of four at home, and the one road game is Baltimore, which, if you know this area, is basically a road game from a travel perspective anyway. If they cut some wood here and all of a sudden you're talking about 6-2 or something, it gets pretty interesting. And they got the Panthers and the Bears on after the Ravens, so they're probably going to be favored anyway.
So, JP, when you look at this team right now, the Browns 1-3, like we said earlier, Commanders 3-1. Do you think, though, in talking with the players in the locker room, that they might be overlooking this game, you know, to focus on Baltimore, or you think they're dialed in, locked in, saying we've got to go 4-1?
I thought they had a real chance to overlook Arizona, and they did nothing of the sort. They haven't been home in a while. I think there's some level of excitement just to have a home game and to ideally hear what is now called Northwest Stadium rocking. And Jaden, you know, it's a small sample, but he doesn't seem to get too high, too low off of anything. He seems to be the same kind of guy that's all about preparation, the next rep, the next snap, the next game, the next practice, whatever it is. And I think he's arrived at it through like an organic way, but I think this team is going to start taking their cues from Jaden. And then they've got some heady veterans on the squad, Bobby Wagner defensively, Austin Eckler offensively, Zach Ertz. I mean, these guys have been – Wagner's won a Super Bowl. Ertz has won a Super Bowl. Eckler's played at a really high level for some time. I don't think – you never know. The NFL's a crazy league, and I know that a lot of times the team that looks bad the week before and the team that looks good the week before almost swap places the following week, and that formula would fit to the Browns and the Commanders. But they don't strike me as a group that's going to look ahead to Baltimore or something, but you never know.
JP, great stuff, man. Excited for DC fans to have a quarterback we're talking about again. And you certainly did a great job. We appreciate you, buddy.
No sweat, fellas. Take care.
Thanks so much. JP Finley there of 106.7 The Fan in DC on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Man, I was really feeling a little bit better about this game. And then one answer by JP took the win just a little bit out of my sails. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.